You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. God help us, thank you. Here we are. Your word, your understanding, the execution of all of that which you have said is up to you. So we're trying to get a little handle on it, that we can sort of be thinking along the line like you do, to be able to exercise our heart and mind, our understanding, like you, to be able to just agree a little bit, God, to be comfortable with how you think and what you're doing. So deal with us. Thank you very much in every way. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, in our study of the Gospel of John and in chapter 17, where we are, in the process, God is encouraging the believers, the 11, that are in great discouragement. And he's encouraging them to give them an understanding heart. And the way to do it is understand who he is and what he's doing. Not who they are, but who he is. And thus he shares with them and allows them to hear his conversation between our Lord, God the Son, and God the Father, to be able to know what God is thinking and what he's after and why he's after it. And therefore, that's what we need to understand. That's what they needed to understand for his glory and honor. And he gave them and would give them his glory and honor. That's an awesome thing. So God, you've got to help us understand it, not from our window and our viewpoint and our experiences and our world. No, we need to know it from your position. And God is helping them do that. And thus he records for us that prayer. And we're reading it to have the benefits of it. And therefore, as we shared and moved down to verse 8, 17 and verse 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hadst sent me. So, A, they have received those words, which they have. God, they've been with him 3 1/3 years, and he has, they've been there, that's what they've listened to, day and night, that's what they've listened to. And they have him, and God is locking them in, even though they can't put the pieces together, they have the pieces, at least they have the pieces. And secondly, they have received, not only have they the words which thou gavest me, they have received them and have known surely where did the words come from. They came from God the Father. So there's no question the words that they've been absorbing are from God. Like Nicodemus would say, no one can have this except from God, like our Lord in John chapter 3. So therefore, not only do they know that he's from God, and they have believed that God has sent him. So they know the words are from God, and they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is visibly in front of them. God has sent him. So they got his word, his person. They know this. They know this. That's what they know. And that's their base, even though they can't put the pieces together. So, when we come now into the light of that and God's knowing and God's wonderful showing, so now, God, the next part of it. So God, help us. Okay, go with me please over, if you would, to the book of Exodus, and Exodus in chapter 19. And I want you to make a mental note if you choose to. Exodus chapter 19. The introduction For Israel, God introduces himself to Israel at Mount Sinai. And introducing himself, he tells them of his wonderful plan for them. Think of John 17. He introduces himself specifically before, as God, by God, for God, in their presence. They can listen. Israel here in chapter 19, Exodus, God, he's telling Israel at Mount Sinai, just leaving Egypt, etc. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Watch it, as you know it. Verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now that's I'll read the next verse because it fills it out. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Back up to verse 5, the middle of the verse. You shall be a peculiar treasure, prized, privileged, personal treasure. God, a piece of property. Treasure, precious, personal, property, prized. Wow, that's the word. You're going to be my special. Now that's something. Of all the nations, of all the nations, of all the people of the earth, they are prized, privileged. Israel is the nation God has chosen to house himself, to show all the nations of the world, especially coming up in the kingdom. Now, having said that, special. They didn't appreciate being special. That's what their problem was. They just didn't understand how special was. They just didn't understand. Now, I'm going to go all the way to Malachi. To Malachi chapter 3. And in Malachi chapter 3, you will please note, as you come to the end of the Old Testament, there's a remnant of believers that are believing. General apostasy is nothing, going the wrong way. They're going to go all the way into the day of the Maccabees and ultimately John the Baptist and crucifixion. Now, but, a word of encouragement if you were a Jew in that day when you see nothing, that's going to go to nothing. The next years of your children's 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 children is zero, as it were. That's not very encouraging. What do you tell them, God? Verse 16. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God was very conscious of the people that were thinking of God properly. How so? Verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day will I make up my when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, do you see the word jewels? That is the same as precious treasure in Exodus 19. How does, after all of Israel risen, given all of those wonderful years to be something and they aren't, God, have you forgotten Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Have you forgotten what you said? They're your nation, they're your prized nation, and boy, look at them. But God said, I didn't forget. That little remnant at the end in verse 16, they're jewels, they're my treasure. And that's the treasure, the people that were believing God, Exodus 19, the remnant, Moses and Aaron. And then over here at the end in Malachi, the people that are fearing God, wow, They're my treasure. They are my prized, personal, precious treasure. That's what they are, the same word. So he hasn't stopped. It's things that are valuable to him are very, very valuable. And when he has to pay for them, boy, are they precious to him. Now, with that in mind, back over, if you would, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of Matthew. And in chapter 12. Matthew in chapter 12. And you would note, now, God, remember now, we're looking at chapter 11 and 12, you know, from chapter 13 in the evening, all of that. And they've rejected him in the Galilee, and he is telling them why, how things are going to go. In the process, why chapter 13 is because they're going to reject him. They are rejecting him, Matthew 11 and 12, and they will reject him, crucify him. Now, so when I slide over to chapter 12, and he gives them a wonderful, wonderful reminder, since they're always busy asking for some sign or something, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now they don't believe, they don't want to believe. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign. Now, you got to remember, he's telling them he's going to be crucified. They're going to reject him. They don't want him. World doesn't want him. Men love darkness rather than light, John 3 and that. So here they are. The only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah as he was 3 days. He's only going to give them the sign of an empty tomb, that they can't find a body, and a risen Christ that they can't come to grips with. That's all he's going to give them, that sign, that sign. Hang on to that. Now, how are we going to go and show that sign? Because only the 500 see him rise, no one else, 40 days, no one else sees him except believers. That's all. Unsaved don't see him. Jews don't see him. So here he is looking, and he's going to go, and he's going to be has his witnesses. So, and as you know, in the only being the only sign, he's going to go and demonstrate in his most awesome way. He's going to demonstrate his grace, and he's going to go and do that with believers. Now, John 17, without turning there at the moment, John 17 tells us what. They need to understand God's glorious, glorious plan. They need to understand Christ is going to be crucified and risen and rejected. God's wonderful, wonderful plan never changes, like in the treasure, never changes. God's wonderful plan is centered in his Son, who's glorious and has glorifies the Father. So therefore, And so what are we supposed to know in John 17? Well, you might as well turn there and just keep you awake a little bit. John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, you recall, what has he done? What is he telling them? He's telling them they have, believe in, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11 and all of that. I'm all of that. Now, what is life? We're looking and say, what is life? What is life? We're going to be facing death in chapter, the apostles facing death. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is a relationship to be realized, a relationship to God, a wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way. That is what Christ died for, to make possible. And he's going to, Israel, which is the chief nation to all the nations of the world, is in unbelief, and they will get there through the tribulation, as we've shared. But in this age of grace, God is going to give them the only sign, and the only sign is by the resurrected life found in the whosoever's that believe in the church. God is going to take whosoever's that believe and save them. What is being saved? To have a unique relationship to Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, to God the Father, to have life, an awesome relationship to God, to demonstrate God in you, the hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory, God in you, the hope of glory. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore, what are we going to have? Acts 1:8 and that, you are my witnesses, my personal prize, privilege, property, you're mine, to demonstrate what? My resurrection. The only thing I'm going to do is demonstrate life, that I rose again. The preaching of the cross, the centerpiece. I did think of Paul, we did the other day, Wednesday or whatever. Philippians, 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message. The message, what are we doing? We have communion, preaching the cross till he comes. Who's preaching? Who's demonstrating that message? The whosoever's that got saved, that got have his life. They are demonstrating life. They, living souls, are demonstrating why they have life. They have life because Christ died for them and died on Calvary's cross. So they're his witnesses in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. And so having said that and keeping that in mind, in John chapter 17, remember now, and also to add to that, of all the different pieces, John 17 and verse 18. 17 and 18. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So their assignment, after he's crucified, risen, what's the assignment going to be in Acts chapter 2 and thereafter, and here we are? What's their assignment? To preach the Lord's death until he comes, and they're going to go, and they, as my Father sent me, so send I you. We're going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were reading, and do it just for the sake of doing it again, Acts chapter 4, Acts in chapter 4, and picking up, if I may, in verse 33. And with great power, this church, Peter and all of that, Jerusalem, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace was upon them all. So the assembly, what was the church about? What we shared all these things. It's about the wonderful person of Jesus Christ resurrected. How was it going to show that he resurrected? By way of his body, the church is going to show his wonderful, wonderful life to the people. And that's what we're doing. We're sitting here. Why are we sitting here? Because Christ died on the cross and made possible a unique relationship to God. That's why we're sitting here. We aren't sitting here to be religious. We aren't sitting here to pay a bill so that someone out there, whoever he is, God or whoever he is, will be happy and well, at least we did some good so he can't quite get us. No, that's not about that. It's about a unique relationship to be realized and understand that relationship that God has done. And therefore, the resurrected life of our Lord. Now, back over if I can. John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, may I go now to the next statement he makes, verse 9. The next thing he says after, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Okay. He's going to go and pray and pray and pray and look to God for them in a most, most wonderful way. Now, and I got to, let me add another little piece that may help you. Here they are, and he's going to pray for them. He's praying for the 11, the believers, praying for the believers. He's not praying for the world, just for the believers. Now, why are we just, another piece that will help you. I'm coming back here ultimately. Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, the disciples that are listening to in John 17, they're hearing, they're there, witnesses to the, what he was saying. What he had told them previously, chapter 10, picking up please, in verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What was there, without taking all the time of context of Hebrews, but Matthew 10, persecution, hard. What am I going to find? You're going to find the world hates you. They're going to persecute you and try to kill you. They're going to do everything they can to cut. Darkness hates light. They're going to do that to you. Hang on to that. Now, New Testament, Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, picking up, remember what he told them before the cross. Now he's going to send them forth. What's changed? What's changed? As sheep before wolves. Romans chapter 8, picking up in the light of the context, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. As it is written, we're going to be 50 feet tall and made of steel. No, it doesn't say that. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Verse 36, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, when did the sheep change? No, before the cross, there's sheep in the world. After the cross, there's sheep in the world. He's the shepherd, and they're the sheep. That's what he's showing. He's the Savior. That's what he's showing him. And verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So the believers are not going to have a picnic at all. So when you come to John chapter 17 again, it's no picnic. He knows that. They're precious to him. So therefore, what do we know? The word pray, to ask, to petition. Comfortable, it's a relationship. The heathen would use it for the gods. Now, that expression for the gods is sort of outdated. By that I mean, it's if you have a little history in your mind and understand, our world is godless. Godless. We're at the end. But back yesterday, they worshiped, each nation had their gods. And each nation worshiped their gods and prayed to their gods and trotted their gods, Zeus and Minerva and Mercury and all of them. There they were, and they prayed to their gods to get in their wars and in their battles for the good. Their God would bless them. This is the word ask that is used, they would have used it, for their God, to pray to their gods. It means to have a familiarity with God, to be able to talk to God. You, believer, dear believing heart, you have a unique ability to go straightway to God, which we're talking. We're in his presence. We're in his presence, and we're talking. We have a unique relationship to God. But wow, that's right. And they are going to have to be and have a unique relationship to God in order to go through what they are. Now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to, the word prayer, God is saying, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, has a unique relationship to God, that they are one. They have a unique relationship, a very intimate relationship. What? Now, God is exercising his relationship to himself. How's that? God's exercising a wonderful relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are having a wonderful, wonderful exercise conversation to that which is precious to them. Precious. Israel is precious, a prized treasure. And they're going to send out the believing heart to be his witnesses, Acts 1:8. And they're going into a world that hates them, wants to kill them, doesn't want anything to do with light at all. No light, darkness. And that's what they're sending him out to. And they're very precious to God. It's his only sign. It's his only witness that he's going to show to a world that is to be condemned. It's the only witness he's going to show. It's very precious. That believing heart is very precious to God. Not for the world. He isn't praying for the world. He's praying for that which represents his honor, his glory. God has committed himself to demonstrate the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Christ is going to die for the sin of the whole world. And he did. And he did. God committed himself. God committed himself to the people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's committed himself to them to demonstrate to the world who he is. And they're precious to him. And they're precious. He can't afford. He protects them. Awesomely protects them. Wow. You can't blame him. It's his witness. That's what he's doing. They're precious. Precious to him. So he's praying for them. Praying for the believers to be able. Think of the Sunday school with the exercise of Hebrews and the high priesthood and all of that we're doing. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and pray for them. I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for the world. No, the world isn't going to care. The world doesn't care at all. But God, I want the believers to be able to have a wonderful relationship to me. Now, also in these words, verse 9, I pray for. Do you see the preposition for? The preposition for is used three times. Genitive, it's a preposition. Now, what does the preposition mean? It means, words are wonderful. Greek is a very picturesque language. What's it mean? That word, the word for means I have an object in front of me. I circle it. I put it in the middle of the circle. And I'm concerned. I'm putting it right in the middle of my concern. I'm circling it. Of all the things, what's in the circle? You are. The disciples are. You're in the middle. I'm praying for you. You're precious to me. Wonderfully, wonderfully precious to me. And that's the little word for. I'll read it now. I pray. I circle them. I'm surrounding them. Of all the people, what are you looking for? Think of back over in Exodus 19. What is the prized nation? Israel. And so Israel, what are you going to do? Put it up on a pedestal. It's my nation. They're my people. It's my body. Aren't you? The body is precious, isn't it? Christ is the body. The church is the body of Christ, I should say. Now, having said that little bit, then, and there's the word for. I pray not for the world. I'm not circling the world. The world isn't in my circle. There's neighbors down the street, people over in all kinds of world, people. Are you with, question, are you in the center circle of God's concern? I want to be in the center. Otherwise, no one, I'm not in the center. There's 7-8 billion people almost getting there in the world. They aren't in the center. Only so many are in the center, in the center. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and verse 9, I pray for them, in the center for them. I pray not, they are not, the world is not in the center, but for, there it is, for them I circle them which thou hast given me, they are thine. I have circled that which is precious to the Father. The Father gave the Son the believers. God the Father and God the Son determined the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It was in a mutual agreement between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it was an awesome agreement that they did. Now, when they did that wonderful agreement, they had to, you needed to understand that God made a commitment, an awesome commitment to it. And the Father agrees. Son is going to go to Calvary's cross. God the Son is going to unite incarnation in the body, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus and die on the cross. Not the Father, the Son. Son's going to do it. The Father sent the Son, is in full agreement. The Lamb going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Father sent the Son. Now what are you saying? Verse 9. God the Father gave me these, and I am obligated to surround them, to protect them, to have them fulfilled. Do you understand? It isn't just, they aren't just mine. They're His. Did you get that? You aren't just His, you're His, God's. Precious. That's what it means to be saved. Awesome. Awesome. To be saved in a much wonderful way. So God, you're praying. That's right. And I'm honoring the Father. I will not let that happen to the believers because they belong to the Father in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, so God's going to go and surround them, the circle of His concern and prayer, and in the process, the world is not going to be in it, and God is going to honor the Father. There's no question He has to do so. It is required. It is reasonable to do so. And therefore, God, in doing all of that wonderful thing, God, you're going to do it, to pray. Now, does that mean you aren't caring for the world? No. But if the centerpiece of the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign of the believers that have a newness of life. They're new creatures in Christ, what? Old things have passed away. Everything's become, they're new. They're precious. They're my witness. And I'm going to protect them in a most, most wonderful way. Now, does that mean I'm not doing it to the world? Why not to the world? Because you already died for the world. What does the world need to do? Believe. What are they supposed to do? The world needs to believe to be saved. So over to Romans chapter 10, just for a moment to see that, so you know that. So people say, doesn't God care? Sure He cares. But it isn't a question of that. He's protecting the testimony that shows to the world that they need to be saved in this age of grace. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my prayer, they'd be saved. They aren't. They need to be saved. They need to be saved. And our Lord and the cross, you don't have to turn there. Think of Luke 23 and all that on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. And to put that together, do the Corinthians one. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. and you'll see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 6. Corinthians 2:6. I'm just taking a little time to do it. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes, rulers of this world, that come to naught, to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world, which, verse 8, none of the princes, rulers, lords, people that govern, none of the princes of the world knew, for had they, Pontius Pilate would have never crucified me. If I had just told them I'm the king, and I did, but he didn't want to believe it. Verse 8. And but none of the princes of this world knew, for they had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I can keep going with that kind of thing. Do you understand? They would have never crucified. When he comes, Zechariah chapter 12 and that, he steps out of heaven. What are they going to do? They're going to mourn and realize, they see his nail-pierced hands, what they did. And they're going to run into their house and mourn as if they lost their only son. They would have never crucified him, because they would have believed who he was. So therefore, God, you got to protect this little group that's bearing witness in a day when they don't want to witness. They don't want to believe. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as you would. Now, over, if I can, oh, you know those things. John chapter 6. I'm sorry if I lost you a little bit. I'm trying to get you to understand the preciousness of this. Why he's praying. He didn't say that for nothing. He isn't going to say this prayer for nothing, man. He said, listen, you guys better understand what we're talking about. We're talking about some wonderful thing you're going to be able to do. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are going to be fully surrounding you to make sure it all happens and comes out right. That's what they're going to do. So you guys be encouraged. Don't be worried because, well, they're going to be sheep in the middle of the wolves. No, don't worry about that. You're going to be more than a conqueror in the middle of it. Don't worry. You're there as a light in the darkness. No. So therefore, in John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Remember we shared a moment ago without doing it, Christ died on the cross, planned, the Lamb is going to be slain. God the Father and God the Spirit of God are in full agreement. They send the Son to save them. God, that what are the disciples going to believe? They're going to believe what? That God the Father has sent him and sent him. And when you say God, the Lord says, and by the way, Father, God, all that I have, said the Lord, are yours. All of us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The whole thing is us. So therefore, as the Father giveth me, as the Father hath given me to come to me. So it isn't a strange thing. Christ sent his Son, God the Father sent the Son so that he could have his possessions, his believing hearts, trusting him with all his might in a most wonderful way. And that's so easy and so wonderful, God. And verse 39, well, do it again. So you see it. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which sent me, that of all that he hath given. There's your little expression again, verb. He has given me them. I'm not going to lose what he's given me. I'm not going to do that. And therefore, you expect, I, all that he hath given me, verse 39, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm not going to lose one believer. I'm not going to lose them. It's not going to happen. I surround them. I'm going to keep them. And that's what you need to know. Disciples, you're going to face the world. And you're looking at the world and everything. But know this. God has circled you with his personal presence. You are precious in his sight. Prized, privileged, precious, personal property. You're his. He isn't going to lose you. Think of over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1 and 18. God, you're going to, all mine are thine. So, Ephesians 1 and verse 18, I know it may be quick, but see it a little bit. The eyes of your understanding, the prayer, might be enlightened that we might understand what? That we may know what is the hope of his calling. God saved us for a wonderful, wonderful reason. The end of verse 18. And what else should we know? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God died on the cross to save us. And God surrounds us because we're the center of his concern. Most center, the centerpiece. It's his inheritance. It's his inheritance. The unsaved are going to end up in the lake of fire. All God is this. And the Father gave it. I'm going to protect it. It's a precious thing to God. That's what I'm trying to get, if nothing else. The believing heart, when the heart believes, they become extremely precious to God. And we look at ourselves and we see the world around us and our feelings, our fears, our faults, nothing. But to God, precious, precious, special. Say, well, I don't feel special. No, neither do I. Except, God, I know, and you know, God, I'm going to be there for you, just for you. That's all. Just for you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh. Yeah. It's precious. Precious, precious, precious. Now, so in the light of all of that, and so you know, what should we do in this shirt? John 14. I hope you got a little bit why he prayed. And if you get to John 14, I want you to go to 17 for time's sake. John 17. And I want you to put this at your leisure, let it sink in. He's praying, surrounding you with his concern. God talking to God, what are you going to say? Verse 10, 17, 10. All mine are what? Are thine. all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. The Father has full possession of your heart, and Christ has full possession of your heart. Your heart belongs to him. So the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your heart that are God's, that your heart, for God's sake, glorify God. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Wow. That's right. It's a wonderful thing. So when you sit eating your hot dog or whatever you do, and whatever you're going to do, and all of that's ordinary. No, it is. Just ordinary. You're going to do it. And then we pray, thank you, God, for the food. We do that. But then just sort of let it sometime get to you that you're very, very special. Not because of you. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, man, you became one special critter. Do you understand? You became one special critter. Prized, prized, privileged. In closing, over to Peter, 1 Peter. Almost closing. Almost. 1 Peter. Maybe. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Think of study in Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You're very, very, very special. Therefore, he surrounds us. Therefore, also it is contained in Scripture, the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. God is very, very precious to God, the perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very special in his humanity to God. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, verse 7, unto you therefore, which believe, he is what? Precious. See? I didn't know till I put it together. And if that means that much to God, then it ought to mean something to me. If my believing on him as my Savior is that precious to him and that important to him, I ought to consider him and give him some credit. God, you're awful precious. Wow. Wonderfully precious. And in closing, over to Psalm 32, actual closing. Psalm 32. And you'd recall, remember what we just said, the circle concern? Now I'm going to take it, Old Testament, and use the illustration. David, are you going to help me? He is. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art, here's David talking to God. Remember, like we said, he ought to be precious to us. He was precious to David. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, salvation. The word compass means to surround, just like the concern, to surround me. You surround me with songs of victory, deliverance. What have we got in Romans 8? You're going to be sheep for the slaughter, but be of good cheer. You've overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you. You've overcome, you're a winner. So therefore, you're surrounded. David, David, tell the rest of us and the apostles. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy, there's your little verb again, shall compass him about. So surround him. God's going to surround us with his saving grace. God's going to surround us with his mercy. What do you think? I think it's pretty good. What do? We come boldly throne of grace to find what? Grace and mercy. What are we doing? Are we going? God, you're surrounding us. That's right. And you live like that. You breathe like that. You bleed like that. You get bruised and broken bones like that. And God loves you. What can I tell you? I hope you got a little bit. Truth's wonderful. It's just hard to get it out. What can I tell you? Awesome truth. We never hear it. You probably will never read this stuff either, by the way. I'll bet you. I hate to tell you. Anyway, God help us. So if you know the Lord as your Savior, thank you. It may not look like much, but boy, You certainly don't look, you certainly look humans to me. I don't see anything special, neither do you. But God does. God does. Our Father and God, thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. Help us. It's an awesome thing, God, being saved and in a days that are darkening and getting more and more difficult and dangerous. But God, there you are. Help us. Spirit of God, thank you very, 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 very much. We're counting on you. In Christ's name, amen.